Hi, everyone. It's Marnie. And before I start this next episode, I want to let you know that the next round of Empower Her for Women is kicking off on April 15th. And this is not just another coaching program. There are so many wonderful coaching programs at HCH and at many other facilities that are just fantastic. This is a very unique program because it is not necessarily about betrayal. It is really about getting back to feeling like you again. The focus is not on the recovering relationship or really about your relationship at all with another person anyway. It is really deeply about your relationship with yourself. Empower Her is a 12-week group coaching transformative program that's been designed for women who've navigated hard things and are ready to move forward stronger, wiser, and in full alignment with the life that they actually want. The women in our current cohort say they feel lighter, more focused, and deeply seen in a way that they haven't in years. They love being in the virtual room with other women who get it, who feel both inspired and empowered by being in a new, fresh conversation. If that sounds like the space that you need, we would love to have you. Please email support@helpingcouplesheal to grab your spot before we fill up. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, a place for healing and hope for couples impacted by betrayal resulting from infidelity and or sex addiction. Your host is Marnie Breaker, licensed marriage and family therapist, certified sex addiction therapist, and founder of the Center for Relational Healing in Los Angeles and San Diego, California. The Helping Couples Heal podcast was launched in 2021 with the intention of bringing hope to couples all over the world who are desperately trying to recover from the devastating impact of betrayal. Realizing how many people the podcast was reaching and that we could offer even more support to our listeners, Marnie co-founded Helping Couples Heal, which has since grown into a global online coaching organization. This podcast is the foundation of all the work that we do at Helping Couples Heal. Thank you for listening. Marnie brings over a decade of experience and expertise in the field of betrayal trauma and is honored to support you wherever you may be in your healing. If you've lost hope, you've come to the right place. Now, take a slow, deep breath and let's begin with the Helping Couples Heal podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Helping Couples Heal podcast. This is Marnie and I have a very special guest today. I am going to be talking with another CSAT, one of my colleagues. Her name is Deborah Kaplan, and Deborah is a therapist who works in Arizona and specializes in helping clients overcome addictions, issues related to sex and love, relationship struggles, and unresolved traumatic stress. And in addition to her work in the sex addiction field, Deb is also an expert in financial infidelity, which is something a lot of people don't talk about very often. Deb is an author of a number of books, including For Love and Money and Coupleship Inc., From Financial Conflict to Financial Intimacy. And the reason that I wanted to talk to Deb, well, there was a few. One is she's fabulous, and I always really enjoy talking to her. But people don't talk a lot in our field, specifically when we're dealing with sex addiction and betrayal trauma. We don't hear a lot about money and what money means to people and sort of the impact of financial issues in recovery from betrayal. So I just thought it would be such a rich and important conversation to have. So thank you for agreeing to come on and being here.
Absolutely. And I'm honored to be here. And you and I were talking right before we started, you know, do we want to go in this direction or that direction? And the truth is both directions are equally important and dense, or should I say rich, pardon the pun, because there is so much depth here to talk about, whether we're talking about financial infidelity or we're talking about financial independence and autonomy. And a lot of the betrayal that your listeners are healing with and from and growing new versions of their relationships and or finding their strengths and their healing, money is a big part of that. And we don't often address that. We look at the sexual infidelity or the betrayal, the lack of sexual trust and the breaching of that trust. But there's so much related to building trust around money and what money means to somebody and what that break of trust or breach of that can really summon. It's like it calls up from the past, unresolved or unmet needs that really amplify the pain that have to be addressed.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And you're right, it's really not something that is talked about. So I'm curious, can you maybe start by sharing where your interest in this came from? Because again, many of our colleagues are not talking about this.
Yeah. Many years ago, when I was one of three children, I still am, but we were little and we would sit in the back seat of the car, and I was the middle child and I somewhat occupied the middle seat. And I would watch forward into the front seat of my parents. And I'd watch my dad who was driving, my mother, and they would argue. And my parents were married, I should tell you, for 50 years together to each other.
Wow.
And they argued incessantly. I mean, like, it was crazy. Most of their arguments were about money. And when I wrote Battle of the Titans, Mastering the Forces of Sex, Money, and Power, I thread part of my life along with it's really kind of hangs on Greek mythology, and I wove my story along with client stories. In that story, I spoke a lot about what I observed growing up within my parents' marriage. They argued about money. My dad was so anxious about money. My mom would spend it. And she'd come home with clothes and she would throw them into closets and she wouldn't tell my dad. Now, she didn't put us in debt, gratefully, but eventually their fights came to a tipping point. And my dad, who paid the bills once a month back then, you pay the bill once a month, he'd lay all the bills out on the table. And he would say to my mom, you know, what's this bill and what's that bill? And she'd be like, oh, stop, hun. And eventually they had a fight. And she said, you know what? If you don't want to pay the bills, I will. If they make you so anxious, I'll pay the bills. But around the same time, my mom also started working out of the house. And so their dynamic shifted. Fast forward many years, when I was working on Wall Street, I began to realize just how much the emotions of money, the meaning of money, are driven by our emotional and personal experiences. When I ultimately became a therapist and started working with sex addiction, it was really clear that my world had come full circle, because not only were couples bringing in the issues of sex and betrayal and infidelity, but then there was money issues that they had nowhere to go with. And I realized so much had been written about sex and so much had been written about money, but no one ever put them together. And the dynamic, the balance of mastering those forces is why I wrote about, speak about, and work with this today. I work with clients all over the world, really empowering women if they are betrayed, and empowering couples to build trust together, because it takes both sides.
Yes, it does. Yeah. So many places to go here. I mean, some of the things that I want to mention concerning money that I see.
Yeah. What do you see?
So a bunch of things. One of the things is, sadly, the truth is that there are a lot of betrayed partners who feel stuck and that they don't have choices after the discovery of betrayal, because they, let's say, haven't worked in a long time, raising family, they don't have the financial independence, they're scared that they're going to be punished in some way financially, cut off if they leave the relationship. And so oftentimes I see a lot of really that feeling of being stuck and totally disempowered. So that's one thing. And also I see people that after years of not working have to go back. I have a client actually who, smart woman, she was a lawyer, had a great career, and then left that in her family, moved someplace else because of her husband's job. And then she didn't go back to work and she's raised her kids. And there was a discovery and all of the aftermath of that. And she got divorced and she's now had to go back to work. And it has been such a hard road for her. She, you know, as much as she was a lawyer, she had all these skills, she hasn't worked in 20 years. So her feelings of inadequacy, incompetence, not being good enough, fear of failure, there was so much there. And she did get a job and it's, you know, she's starting from ground zero. And that's one of the big issues that she is trying to work through now.
Yeah. And I wish I could reach out through the mic to her and to basically say those like her, that the infidelity that does exact financial destruction and devastation for more years than beyond the sexual betrayal. The sexual betrayal leaves its emotional scars for sure. But there is the reality of the financial devastation that is often uncovered after. And what I would tell these listeners, for example, is that to find your true sense of empowerment, authentically empowering yourself, may have come on the heels of a real serious trauma and a shock. And yet, at all times, to be as empowered anyway, my mom often said to my dad, you know, just do whatever. And he begged her to know. She didn't want to know. And I only found this out many years later when I was writing the book, because I said to her, you know, it seems like you guys argued about money and dad tried to control you with money. And she's like, no, that's not what happened. And I was like, what do you mean? what do you mean that's not what happened?
Changing my whole story that I've had in my head my whole life.
I'm not kidding you. Yes. So I said to her, what? And she began to tell me my dad wanted nothing more than for her to be empowered and a partner equal. She wanted no part of it. And it wasn't until she went back to work because she was pissed off at him that she began to really be her own person. Gratefully, it didn't come on the heels of a betrayal. Mm-hmm. But for many women, it does. And they really have to lean into that. And I am absolutely certain it is painful. And it is like the coldest shower one could take over and over and over again. And yet it's the wake-up call that they may not have ever been told, you are intelligent enough, you are smart enough. But to step out of or disavow that autonomy is really the unfortunateness that they walked around as adults until they needed to dig in and stand on their own two emotional feet. And it's very sad because it didn't come organically. It came out of necessity.
It came out of necessity, right? And out of trauma.
Yeah. And the shock of that.
Yeah. I mean, so much shock. The other thing about this is, you know, often with the discovery of sexual betrayal, there is the discovery of financial betrayal. Oftentimes, there was money that was spent on the addiction, on other people, on other activities or on travel. I mean, there's, you know, gifts, all sorts of things. And that's a whole other level of betrayal.
In many of the cases and the couples I work with or the individuals, when I ask, please tell me about discovery, what happened? There are two themes. It came up on our shared internet or it came up on our shared accounts. And so there was a text that showed up and my children read it and I read it. And or I got a notice or I got a receipt or I found a bill and one thread led to another. Those are the two themes that come up often. Clearly, both of them are devastating. But the first part of it, and I have to say, finding out that beneficiaries have been taking off accounts, finding out that having sold a house or having changed insurance policies, some of this doesn't come out until after the fact. And then the sexual betrayal is found because the paths that led to what is going on here, or bank accounts that have been closed or overdrawn, or debt that is showing up, mortgage payments that are not being made, rent is not being paid. And that is how some of this comes to light. So the discovery is sexual after the financial discovery. And that's devastating.
And that's a double whammy. That's a double betrayal right there.
It is. It's crushing.
Oftentimes when people ask me, and when addicts ask me even, I understand my partner's upset. Obviously, I betrayed her or I betrayed him. It's not okay, but she's really or he's really not okay. You know, like rageful, throwing things. I've never seen him or her like this. I don't understand it. And I'll talk about the complex PTSD piece of, first of all, it's over many, many years, right? There's this ongoing exposure, even if the person didn't know what's going on. But then you have like the financial betrayal. And that's complex. It's like two betrayals.
It's complex, but it's also convoluted because it isn't readily available. It's not readily known. There are layers of how that financial betrayal and infidelity might be happening. also, there's no time to deal with it because then there's the sexual infidelity, there's the betrayal. So when one is least capable of dealing with it anyway, now one has to begin to dig themselves out of a financial hole.
So how do you help your clients do that?
So I was about to say, now that we have completely like rocked the listeners' world and they're devastated, yeah, tell us how to deal with this. The first thing is to lean into getting help because you can't do this by yourself. And I know that sounds easy, but so many betrayed partners wait. They wait because they don't really know what to do. They're in shock. So they'll reach out to a good friend. They'll reach out to a family member, but they don't reach out for real therapeutic or professional help. When someone reaches out for help, it's important that we as therapists ask the question. So for the listener to say, look, I'm dealing with this devastation. I found some sort of financial, you know, down the rabbit hole, and I think I'm dealing with sexual betrayal. It is very important to validate yourself to know, okay, I may not understand some of this complexity of the finances, but it is not meant to be complex. In other words, don't buy into, you wouldn't understand this. It's very complicated. It's above your head. Because a lot of those stories, that's the smoke and mirrors, right? That's a lot of the denial. Right. Well, you don't have to understand it. Get the help. Financial planner, a financial advisor, an attorney, a CPA. If you're turning to somebody who doesn't have the answers, don't stop until you get them. Build and craft a support team of financial professionals as well as therapeutic professionals.
And you're not just talking about if somebody's leaving the relationship. You're talking about like in the process of discovery, right? And
yes,
trying to figure all of this out and make sense of what it all means.
Exactly. I work with many couples who, after discovery, are now working through, okay, I want to know what the story is. What is the whole story? And so I support them through a sexual disclosure and a financial disclosure. We have a whole chapter in the book about what a financial disclosure involves, what it looks like, what it really would need and necessitate. The biggest illusion is that partners walk around saying, I'm not smart enough. I don't get this. This is above my head. And if you've never learned or you've never had healthy education around money, why would you know? But it isn't convoluted. That is complete bullshit. All you got to learn is to ask for help. And a CPA, an accountant, a professional will explain it. It isn't brain science. You don't have to be a scientist to figure it out. You just have to learn to ask for help.
But I think that this is a crisis for many betrayed partners because I think that many couples or most couples have this sort of distribution of responsibilities in the relationship. You take care of this and I'll take care of this. I do this and you do that, right? And so in a lot of relationships, like your parents' relationship, right, your dad was taking care of that stuff and your mom didn't want anything to do with it. So I think a lot of betrayed partners just find themselves in a situation where there's this discovery and now there's a huge crisis and the need to become autonomous and to become empowered and to figure it out. First of all, they don't have the skills and they don't have the experience. And on top of it, now they're in a state of shock and trauma.
Correct. Right. And it's going to take some time. It's going to be a first then proposition. Deal with the pain, deal with the hurt. Put something off till tomorrow. Look, in that shock state, I walk clients through first things first. They're not going to be able to really think straight, gather their thoughts, support themselves emotionally. It's a shock on the system. I mean, it's really analogous to having a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, how can you think straight if you are concussed? You have to kind of hold on to yourself, get the emotional support you need. And as you begin to get your feet under you, recognize, okay, I'm going to reach out for help. The next person I'm going to reach out to is going to be another person in this support team, and it will be financial. You had said something a minute ago where women who are stuck, yeah, there are many women, maybe financially they can't afford to leave. They would if they could, or they're afraid to leave. Even if there is the ability, because they don't want to leave their children and know that they don't have access to 24/7, 365 with their children. And I get it. And so I support clients through what works for them, because they can still find their autonomy and independence while they stay. And in fact, it's incumbent upon the healing, if they're choosing to stay and want to stay, it's incumbent upon them to find their independence and to find their voice, because they're staying for reasons that are now empowering, not out of, I'm stuck, I don't have a choice.
You know, what's really interesting is also the impact of all of this on the betrayer. I work with tons of couples, and there's this dynamic where the couple will come and I'll ask, tell me why you want to heal. Why are you here? Why are you fighting for this marriage? And usually the betrayer will, you know, give all sorts of, I love her or I love him, and we had this wonderful thing and I screwed it all up, but I want to hold on to it. And we have this wonderful family and all these reasons. And then I'll ask the betrayed partner, and I can't tell you, Deb, how many times they have said, I can't afford to leave. Literally, I can't afford to leave. You know, financially, I don't have the financial independence to do that. And that creates a really tough dynamic in the couple's work, because now you're looking at a couple who are technically there for your help, but one of them is saying, the only reason I'm staying is because I don't have financial independence. And, you know, that's just a whole other...
It is. And I do challenge that. So I work with many couples. If they're still in the deciding phase of, do I want to stay? Do I want to leave? I ask them to make a commitment to the relationship, because they can leave tomorrow. They can certainly step out and leave at any moment. But the decision to stay just for now, just for today, is what I'm asking them to make, because they can't try to do therapy and support themselves by being with one foot out and one foot in. It's nothing to do about the partner. It's for them. You can always leave tomorrow, but for today, you've decided you'll stay, work on that. And when they say, I can't afford to leave, and I'll ask this of your listeners to ask themselves, what does that mean? What does that in reality mean? What does that look like? I can't literally afford to, or I'm afraid to, or I don't know how to make it on my own. And I'll work to help the coupleship empower each other. Now, the betrayer is going to be the last person in the world who they're going to trust to do that support. They may want it, but at the same hand, they may not trust it, because trust has been broken. And so it is going to be the role of the betrayer to support the betrayed partner in whatever way they can, so that they're empowering the betrayed partner, that they are doing what they can to support them. And it begins to stitch the intimacy back into the relationship where it may never have been or it was lost.
Absolutely. And what are some of those ways that the betrayer is able to support the betrayed partner?
It's to step into their shoes. And so I ask them to do a role reversal. And I have them, without it being ludicrous, I have them come in and at times wear something of the other person so they can kind of step into their life and say, what would it feel like to be spoken to the way that they would typically talk in the past? And now what is it they want to hear? Because they're able to really have that theory of mind to step into the compassion and empathy of the receiving end of what they may not have ever had. It's to ask, what do you need? What can I help facilitate? Or what do you want me to step back from? Do you want me to take the lion's share of the work you used to do while you go and educate yourself, while you go get the support you need? Do you want me to turn things over to you? Do you want me to help you find a professional? Or do you want me to help you ask the questions that you may not know you need to ask? Is it just to step back because you don't trust me, and I'm okay with that because I've breached your trust? Why would you trust me now? Or turn it over to somebody else who will help them. There are, tax filings, certainly around now, this time of year. I'm not sure when this podcast will come out, but around tax time, I cannot tell you how many times I hear partners say, I have no idea, I just signed the paper and I send it in. And I bristle.
Yeah.
I bristle. Because there is not one financial professional, and if they don't, they shouldn't be licensed, who wouldn't sit down and walk them through what the return is. But how many blindly sign and say, here, just sign on the dotted line here. Just sign here, sign here, sign here. You don't need to know this.
Well, money can be so overwhelming, especially when you don't have a relationship with money. You know, I do come from the belief that money is energy and we have a relationship with it. And like you said, we bring so much in from our, you know, our history.
You all have a lived experience with it. So I'll also ask them, what does money mean to you? I'll see the other spectrum here. I get a lot of calls regarding couples who don't know how to navigate money with the family because their relationship now in their marriage is different with money that may be inherited. And what do they do when they're feeling like they're betraying the family system? Because the next generation, there are a lot of cultural messages around money. The betrayal isn't just a sexual betrayal. It's I'm not, in my culture, allowed to be more successful than the generation before me. Or it is incumbent upon my generation to support the generation before me. And if I'm not doing that, I'm betraying my family's honor. So it doesn't have to also carry a sexual betrayal. The implication is just the cultural as well as the familial meaning of betrayal.
Yeah, it goes back to being so complex and complicated in many ways. And I see what you're saying, like in certain ways about this whole thing, it's not. You know, you can break it down and get help and all of those things. But our relationship to money, that's what's complicated for so many people. It's like you inherit beliefs around money and inherit disbeliefs around money.
So when I work with clients and I'll say to them, whether it's an individual or a couple, and I'll say to them, money equals fill in the blank. This is what money means to me. Or I am most insecure about money because, or in the circumstances when I feel most secure. I mean, I really take a whole litany of temperature around money and the emotional drivers.
Are there some universal things, Deb, that you see over and over again that people are reporting around what money means to them?
Yeah. Money is security. Money is safety. I mean, that by and large is the greatest generalized because money is security. If I have money, I can get away. That's why when women in particular who are trapped or say that they feel trapped, and in reality, some are, and I'm not discouraging or disparaging that. That is a truth. But money is safety. Partners that I've had working to stay in the marriage, one of their demands is, I want my own money. I want my own account, and I want to know what's in it, and there's going to be X amount that's going to stay, because no matter what happens, if you, the betrayer, are acting out again, or I am in some way betrayed yet again, I know I'll be safe. It's not the emotional safety, it's the financial safety. Once they have that, now they can work toward the emotional safety.
Yeah, I've seen this many times. I've actually seen clients ask for a postnuptial, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are around that.
Yeah, I was just talking to a couple yesterday who wanted to have an introductory consult. And then the gentleman said to me, how familiar are you with prenups? And I said, well, in my field, it's postnups.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that
right.
Just was yesterday.
Yep.
So there was dead silence on the other end of the line. And I said to him, I'm not sure this, I clearly know that's not what you were referring to, but in my field, it's not a prenup, it's a postnup. There may not have been a prenup before, but there sure as hell is one now. Because that resets what we're building here. And that is a sense of independence and autonomy, right? Because that means I know that I'll be okay. And if I can say financially I'll be okay, I make the bandwidth for the emotional, now what do I need? And truly, it's okay. I honor that. Because if it's that transactional to begin with, so that a betrayed partner can step into rebuilding the emotional breach, and they needed to feel safe financially, go for it.
So I think it's so important for the betrayers who are listening to really hear this, because oftentimes I think when a postnup, and many other things, by the way, other boundaries are brought up, their first thought is, I'm being punished. This is very punitive. This is vengeful. I'm a bad person. This is about getting back at me, all of those things. And I think it's really important to recognize that as professionals, we endorse this not as a way to punish you, but as Deborah just said, as a way to give the betrayed partner back some agency, some safety that was just like taken from him or her. And so I think it's really important. Again, I want to just emphasize that if you're listening and you're a betrayer and your partner has asked you for some of these kinds of things and is asking you to help them feel financially safe or financially secure, that's not about punishment. And one of the ways you can actually help them heal is by showing up and helping them.
For sure. And if it feels like there is a vindictive or punishing energy to it, talk about it. In other words, they may not be able to talk with each other because it's a little too charged, but bring it up in your individual therapy or with your therapist. And if your therapist is aware enough about financial issues, explore why it does feel punitive or punishing. Is that about me, the betrayer, or is that about I'll do whatever it takes, but I've got to earn trust back, or I'm going to roll over on everything that I don't have a voice about? No. Let's talk about this. You have choice. You absolutely have choice. But build the life together that you both want. It's going to be a leveling of the playing field because there may have been a power differential unbeknownst to both. And now the rules of engagement are changing. So a post-nup is not punitive. It is not meant to be punishing. But if it feels that way, or if it's being exacted that way, that's something to be discussed. But it can really help build safety, not trust, safety. And I wanted to say something about that. Many clients sit in therapy and they go, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. They throw the word around like it's a state of being. I don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I do challenge a betrayed partner. What does that mean when you say, I don't feel safe? Because when will you know you are safe? When I know he won't betray me, when I know she will not step away on me, when I know, but you're never going to know. No one could read those tea leaves. Nobody. If I could, I wouldn't be in this job. I'd be a very different person. And this would be a very different world. So when that is thrown around, I don't feel safe. I challenge that to say, this is what I want to do, or this is what I need for me to feel safe. And it isn't about controlling someone else, because boundaries of self-care are about protection. And it's about what I need for me rather than telling you what you need for you. I wanted to make that point.
I appreciate that. I think that that's so incredibly important. There really is that dynamic. I feel like when you're dealing with two people that are in the betrayal bind, let's say, you've got the betrayer and the betrayed, and they're each coming in with their own trauma. Let's be honest, like both are traumatized. And oftentimes the betrayer is feeling as though the partner is going to hurt them financially in some way. Whereas we've been saying all along, the partner doesn't feel safe and doesn't feel secure and is longing for, because they don't trust. So they need some sort of assurance. If they're afraid that they don't have their basic needs met, right, around finances and all of that, How are they going to try to work on the relationship? How are they going to try to work on healing themselves and healing their nervous systems and coming back to life?
To this point, let's kind of turn the coin here. The individual who has done the betrayal, and if there is detriment to their career, they may now no longer have an income.
That's right.
They may have been fired. They may have been arrested. They may have lost an income or the threat of losing an income because of being discovered. I cannot tell you how many phone calls I get that they were found out at work, and therefore they've lost their job. So now there is financial devastation, but it isn't just for the betrayed partner. It's now on the family.
Right.
And in some ways, with the assumption, theoretically, that the couple wants to work together or wants to build the relationship, the healing, the anger, the pain, and the trauma really has to be addressed. With the assumption that the coupleship wants to work together, they're now in the same boat.
Right.
It isn't just the betrayed partner that's paying a price. Yes, they were impacted. They didn't ask for this. But if they choose to stay, they are as vulnerable financially as the partner who did the betraying, because now they are building a life that they come at it because they both were impacted financially. And in some ways, that might be easier because they're both now going to need and to learn to lean on each other. Because trust is now being built to, I need you and you need me, but more so, I want to be with you. And as much as I hate you for what you did, I do want to hang in here.
Yeah, I see that a lot too. The coming together. We have a shared experience here or a shared problem that we have to get through together. We need each other. I'm going to lean in. And then what I'll see is the all of a sudden rage, the reality of you put us here.
I was just going to, like Mercurial, it just, in a flash. Yeah, because the emotional is just the wound and the anger and the pain and the fury and the rage, and it's circular. I mean, there are stages that are not two steps forward, one step back. It's a cyclone.
And when it involves the family, in particular the kids, that just takes things to another level. You and I were talking before we started recording about the film Accidentally Brave. And one of the things in that movie was when Maddie, who wrote the film and starred in the film, she's talking the whole time about her own pain and all of her trauma and how horrible it is. And she's trying to, you know, heal from it. But the part where she felt the most rage was when she went to bring one of her kids to therapy, and she was sitting in the waiting room and heard him sobbing. And she said she'd never felt that level of rage in her life.
Right, for hurting my child, the innocent child, the bystander, the person who never asked for this, wanted it. Yeah.
So that's where I was thinking with the finances. It's like when you said it could impact the whole family system. Yes, and it can come with that same level of outrage and fury. And
as a parent myself, and if I were to put myself in somebody's shoes, I mean, who wouldn't bring hell to bear in order to protect or to avenge the pain of done to a loved one, an innocent, vulnerable loved one? Absolutely. And that is the hard part of the healing, because that takes many, many months, years to come to a place of it wasn't done intentionally. The person is hurting as well. That isn't the case for every coupleship. And there are cases where someone needs to leave and it is appropriate to get out and protect themselves legally and financially. And then there are many more cases where both are at odds and the pain is there. But if they can look at the disease and they can look at the unresolved trauma, that is the shared fight against.
Yeah.
A line against the trauma that has caused such disruption in our lives to everybody, rather than to turn on each other.
Yeah, and this is completely off topic, but I feel like it's important to say, oftentimes with specifically sex addiction, there is the focus of sex as being the demon or the monster or the bad thing, right? It becomes about sex. I really was reminded a second ago, as soon as you said it's the unresolved trauma, that is what we really need to focus on. It's not about the sex. And it's very sad because it can really impact one's sexuality because of all this. But it's unresolved trauma that's at the root of all of this. And that's what needs to be addressed.
Yeah. I mean, certainly to acknowledge that the current adult behavior, there's a responsibility taking for it. And yet, if their unresolved trauma is underneath all of this, aligned together against being a victim of trauma together, because everyone is impacted by that. And that is how couples can find their path forward, because now it's a shared alignment to how do we grow together? How do we heal in the ways we need individually, if it's financially, if it's emotionally, it's all of that. And it's hanky, right? It's murky. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be horrendous at times. It's going to be awkward. And it could be loving. And it could be the bond and the glue that builds one of the strongest, most intimate connection ever had.
Yeah. So many of my clients that have stayed together after this have said, we've never been this close. And usually the partner will say, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, right? I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. However, what I can say now is that we never had a relationship where we talked this much. We never had a relationship where we shared openly with each other. So the gift of this is that we actually have a stronger connection now.
Right. And they never even knew what connection was compared to, because neither had the ability, you know, look, people find each other for a reason. And it's not to say I brought it upon myself. It's not to say I manifested it. It's just we match, we find at the same level we're capable of. Mm-hmm. And that's for all the reasons that are healthy and all the reasons that are dysfunctional. So yeah, it's a very rich and complicated way through.
It is. And I feel like this is a kind of conversation that could go on, or if we were at a conference, this would be a presentation that would be a couple of hours, and then there would be a Q&A and a whole thing. But I know that we don't have much time. Deb, what would be maybe the final thoughts that you would want to share with people around this topic? You know, imagining people listening to this, what maybe last questions might they have that you want to address?
Yeah, if I were to put myself in the listener's space, I'm thinking, sure, it's easy for her to say. Mm-hmm, right. She doesn't know the difficulty I've had. She doesn't know what it really is like. And I have to say, yes, I do. Yes, I do, because I have my own lived experiences. It isn't easy. The takeaway is, first of all, to start leaning into independence, agency, and authentic self-empowerment. Not false empowerment, authentic self-empowerment. And that means reaching out and getting the help from those who have the answers. The person doesn't have to know all the answers. Two, it's to understand that if it's appropriate to leave, then you leave. If you feel like you can't because you're stuck, look at what those pros and cons are, the risk and the benefits of staying or going, because there's a price to be paid either way. And in the last category, if it's, I want to stay and I'm livid and I'm furious and I'm hurt, acknowledge that, validate yourself for that, and then lean into looking at that this is trauma that has impacted everybody. And I'm willing to stay because I think there's more here to grow with. And that choice I make is just for today. I can leave tomorrow, but I'm choosing to stay today than lean in.
Yeah. And there's one thing that I would add to that, which is, like you said, both people have to lean in order to make this work. I typically remind people that generally the betrayer has to take the first steps when it comes to not just leaning in, but empathy. All of that stuff, because a partner who's been betrayed already is not going to feel safe being that vulnerable and leaning in, because otherwise they'd be leaning into the person who hurt them, right? They're leaning in, but it's a threat.
Right, which is why building agency and self-empowerment, even though they'd want to lean on the very person that has hurt them, but it's coming to understand that to really be there for themselves. It gets us into a different topic about inner child work and being there for themselves, because they can be there. They are enough. And to look towards the partner should it's appropriate. And you're darn right. The betrayer has a lot more heavy lifting to do here. For sure.
Yeah, this stuff is not for the faint of heart. We are inspired and in awe of the clients that we work with and the individuals who come in and ask for help, because this is really, really hard. I think it's in many cases easier to leave because the work involved, it's a lot.
It is definitely easy. It comes with its own repercussions. It comes with its own consequences, but you're right. You're right. To stay takes courage. It takes a lot of deep digging into one's sense of self. And it's also learning how to set boundaries with the world outside who has their own opinion. People and everyone else's idea of what they're looking at versus the life the person's living.
Yeah.
It's nobody's decision but your own.
I love that. I love the ending actually on that note, because if there are listeners that came into this discussion or turned on this podcast with the belief that they are stuck or they don't have agency and they are not empowered, they can't be independent, then really the chances are that's where they're going to stay. But we want the takeaway to be that's not true. That's a story. It doesn't mean that the things that happened in your life aren't real. You know, it's not taking away from what's really occurred in your life, but there is a story. If you feel that stuck and you can't take control over your finances or you can't learn or you can't grow in this area, it's about the narrative that you've created, and your work is about deconstructing that narrative and then reconstructing something new.
And really tapping into your authentic self-empowerment, because that's intimacy.
That is intimacy. Yes. I am so grateful you came on. I actually don't want to end, but I know we have to, but I'm so glad we talked about this. I've been doing the podcast for 5 years in May.
Well, it's 5 years too late.
It is. Well, we did one. We had one conversation, I think I told you about finances, and it was this past summer. I think it was July of 2024, and it was great, but there's not enough of it. There does need to be more. And so I love the work you're doing, and I would love to bring you back on.
Anytime. It'd be my pleasure.
You know what I'll do? Every once in a while, I will solicit questions from listeners.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And so I can get some questions right from the people that really need the help. And then you can come back and answer some of those questions.
That actually is a great idea, because then we could speak directly to some topics. And if you were to put it out there, I'd be honored. It'd be great to come back.
Oh, that would be so amazing. Thank you so much for being here. And everybody, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Helping Couples Heal podcast. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for trusting my guests, and really grateful actually for your commitment to yourself. So keep showing up, whether it's this podcast or other podcasts, books, articles, therapists, groups, workshops, intensives, all of that. Just keep showing up for yourself. Thanks again. We'll see you all soon.
Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, where your healing is our number one priority. If you'd like additional resources about betrayal trauma or to learn more about our coaching services, please visit helpingcouplesheal.com or call 562-379-4325. Our help is available worldwide. Please support Helping Couples Heal in continuing to reach others impacted by betrayal trauma by leaving a review on iTunes and sharing this podcast with someone you care about. For additional support, follow us on Instagram and consider joining our Helping Couples Heal private Facebook community. This isn't an easy journey, but you don't have to do it alone. Once again, thank you for listening.